Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, past and present. This is Behind the Scenes, where you meet the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time, I'm asking Valerie Holmes at Colonial Williamsburg. She's Lydia Broadnax, which leads into the first question. Who's Lydia Broadnax?
Lydia Broadnax is a slave of George Wythe, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. But Lydia was also freed in 1787 by the same George Wythe. But she stayed with him in that time. And when he moved up to Richmond in 1791, she went to Richmond also.
Okay, that solves it for me. So she was the cook who could not testify against the useless nephew who poisoned George Wythe.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay. That has always been, to me, one of the fascinating stories of that period, that George Wythe was poisoned by a relative who essentially got away scot-free.
Well, the one thing here, though, about Lydia is we know that Lydia could not testify against him, but what's really amazing is that we believe that she was the one that told George Wythe that it was the nephew that had poisoned him, because George Wythe didn't die right away. Yeah. He died 2 weeks after the poisoning. So the nephew was really going to get almost everything in the will. But because Lydia told George Wythe that, he changed the will. So right. He didn't get prosecuted by the law, but he didn't get any of the...
But he lost all the money that otherwise he would have gotten.
And we believe that's why he did it anyway, because there were two slaves that were mentioned in the will. One was Lydia and one was a small child. So we kind of think that he was inadvertently not trying to poison George Wythe, but poison the slaves that were mentioned in the will.
To keep them from getting the money.
From getting the money, which wasn't going to be a lot because most of the things were going to go to George Wythe Sweeney.
So. Yeah, but that would be sort of silly to try and poison two slaves who weren't going to get much anyway.
Right.
But George Wythe would be left alive. Your will doesn't come into play until you're not here
That's
anymore.
That's right.
I've always liked that story. Why do you think she stayed with George Wythe after she was freed?
That's the thing that's, I guess, most intriguing to me, because that point makes me think that's who we are today. This tells of a relationship between the two people, and it doesn't have to be any other kind of relationship, but something of respect. And that's what I feel I want people to understand today, because that's where the healing comes between the races, mm-hmm. and not thinking that, we've invented something since, civil rights in the 50s and the 60s, but that it goes back even into the time of slavery, mm-hmm. that these two people could have had respect for each other, even in such a horrific system as slavery, mm-hmm. that they could have understood each other, that they could have been friends.
Yeah, gotten along.
Gotten along.
But you don't find many people in that day who, without some cause, freed a slave.
Right.
And the slave continued the same job.
Right.
Only now she wasn't a slave. She
right.
was free.
And we think that she was the cook. Mm-hmm. That's what research has come up with. Not that we ever show any record that she really was the cook. Because in certain records, it talks about the cook of George Wythe. And then after she was freed, it calls Lydia the cook. So that's why they've put it together to make it seem like most likely she was the cook then, and she remained the cook after him.
Would you have been the cook and something else? Would a slave in those days have done more than one job? And as difficult as cooking was then, I think.
Probably she could have done something else, but maybe not something that was skilled. She probably wouldn't have been the laundress, like you said, and the cook, because it would have taken too much to do those things. But also you have to think that if she is the cook is always having children in there, small children. So there could be the white children of the household and the slave children of the household all in this kitchen helping this person, start the fire. And I was actually working in food ways, because if I'm going to betray a cook, I should know how to cook in the 18th century ways.
That would be fun.
Well, you know what? It was really interesting because they had me beating eggs. I had to beat 8 eggs for 35 minutes. I mean, with the people that were experienced in food ways, they take 15 minutes, but my first time it took me 35 minutes. But you're thinking on having to watch the fire, also having to watch children. So there's a, for lack of a better word, there's a daycare kind of going on. So there's other jobs, but maybe not jobs that were skill jobs like cooking.
Please tell me that you've gotten faster.
Well, I've only done it once, so I will find out tomorrow.
What got you interested in historical interpretation?
Not to sound too overly spiritual, but I really believe that it's the Lord that brought me here, because there was no thoughts in me ever portraying a slave. I mean, I have a undergraduate degree in marketing and my master's is in performing arts. And so, you know, I was thinking either a wonderful job in business or Hollywood. I was never thinking a museum. And I went to audition in a museum up in Richmond at the Valentine Museum. And the lady that hired me there really introduced me into historical interpretation. We were doing the year of 1905, which was not slavery, but she was also the person that was in charge of African American department here in Colonial Williamsburg. So she asked me to come and audition. So I can't say that I did come here when I was a child, but I can't say I had any aspirations or dreams of being a historical interpreter, and especially not to be an interpreter of slavery.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me that that could be extremely difficult.
I think it is, but I think it's very, very rewarding. And I have to give, in my life, all applause to Colonial Williamsburg, because working here has made me change my thoughts, opinions of slavery, and to see these people as people and not icons, you know, and even the people that were slavery and I were slaves. I think when I first came here, there was a And I don't think about it. It really was this way that I felt, an embarrassment or a sadness in my heart about slaves. And I think that's because of the way that slavery was taught. And Williamsburg has changed that for me. When I first came to work for Colonial Williamsburg, I worked out at Carter's Grove and worked out at the slave quarters. And watching people come across that bridge from the modern times to look at those slave quarters, and people that were both black and white and of different races. And you could see immediately the people that, I'm going to go over to the slave quarters. And you could see the people that said, I'm just not able to handle that right now. And they kept on going. But I always felt the people that stopped, the way they did the interpretation there was just healing. It was just a wonderful experience, because you started to look at these people as, this is my history, if they were white, you know. I think that's why I loved working out at Carter's Grove, because I felt like white interpreters there made white and black people come there and recognize that the slave quarters was a part of our history, you know. And so you as a white man, as much of the slaves are as much a part of your heritage as it is mine as a black woman, and vice versa for African-Americans that came out there. If they went up to the mansion, which was showing, you know, the 1940s, that black people could feel like, this too is a part of my heritage.
How long have you been here?
11 years.
Okay. In that 11 years, has interpretation for African-Americans and the acceptance of it or rejection of it changed in 11 years? Are we different now than we were 11 years ago?
I believe so. And I remember, I can even speak by speaking for myself. I guess that's all I can speak for. But I'm not sure, I don't think I was here when they did the estate sale that we know as the slave auction. Yeah. I think I came the year after that. But I remember reading in the newspaper and watching it on the news and feeling like, I know I wouldn't be portraying a slave if I had to work there. And there's no way now, 11 years, 12 years later, that I feel like that. But I was feeling very, very torn. But after they did the interpretation, I thought, it was amazing to watch the humanity of these people.
I asked, I've asked other several people at Colonial Williamsburg, and all of them have said to one degree or another that the people who took part in that slave auction found it so troubling that they never did it again.
Right.
I mean, it just was too close. And it was that has always been, I have always been curious about that. Now, as portraying a slave who was a cook in a nice house with probably the loveliest house in Williamsburg, you could deal with that. I'm not sure I could deal with being sold. That would really get to me. And I'm told it got to the people who were taking part.
That's a thing that Dr. Ellis told me to make sure that I keep in mind when I'm playing Lydia. Because, as you said, she was in this wonderful house. And I'm not, well, maybe I am kind of liking her to Coretta Scott King, who we just lost this year, only in that I think it is amazing that this black woman had four American presidents at her funeral. I mean, that's just mind-blowing to me. And why I say that I compare her to Lydia is because Lydia, being in that household, knew everybody that we know as, you know, the founding fathers here in Virginia. I mean, these were people that came in and out of this house, and she most likely fed. So her lifestyle in being in the household of a man that was well-respected and an educator could be very different from other slaves. And like you said, even something of being sold, where she did receive her freedom. And he said, you can never, Dr. Ellis said, you can never, ever forget the other people, because when people come and see Lydia, you know, they're going to be thinking about all those other people, the stories that we know about people being sold, or, you know, the people that weren't living in this wonderful, beautiful house and that got their freedom, but that had a very difficult, and I'm not saying that being a slave, Lydia being a slave, wasn't a difficult life, but I'm talking about people that may have been out in the fields or didn't have a master that even
she
saw
wasn't
that.
Chopping tobacco.
Right.
That would have been the end of it for me.
and I'm glad that he reminded me of that to make sure that I remembered those people, because it's not just about honoring Lydia. It's about honoring our ancestors.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.